Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today and sitting in for our regular host, Juanita Watson. I am delighted to be speaking on the phone with Jackie and Christy. Both of them are in the limelight right now with a newly published book, Love Pond, a fun variety love and romance guide for couples. Doug is a former NBA player, and his wife, Jackie, is a fashion designer. And it's their strong marriage that has made them the most talked about couple in the sports history, and actually in our culture, because they've been appearing on various shows and talk shows and interviews. Their first book, No Ordinary Love, which was published in 2007, really put them in the limelight. And today, they are joining us to talk about the newest book, as I said, Love Ponds. Hi, Jackie and Doug. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Great to have you again. And, gosh, Love Ponds. What a creative title for a book. Tell me, what does Love Ponds mean?
Love Ponds is love plus coupons equals Love Ponds, something that every couple needs.
Love plus coupons. All right. So I get coupons. Is that it? Tell me more.
Yes. Yes. You know how there's so many books out there, Irene, on different types of coupons. Like you can get coupons for your husband,
children, coupons for family. My husband came up with a brilliant idea. He said there's so many couples out there, and if we did something just for them,
you know, which is love and coupons, short, Love Pond, we did something exactly for couples.
Well, how fun is that? And so the whole book is just full of coupons, or do you have other items in there, like suggestions? Or I understand you have some poetry, and what else do you have in the book?
We have recipes, we have different stories of other couples that made it through their journey. They share with, you know, with our readers on what they went through and how they keep their marriage or relationship strong. In the back of the book, there's actually 40 pages of coupons. The book's 146 pages. So there's a lot that people are going to get when they pick up the book Love Pond.
Well, how fun is that? And you're talking about a relationship. And from what I understand, you've been married for 18 years?
Actually, 14, we've been together for 18.
You've been together for 18 and married for 14. And
yes.
It seems to me that one time, when I had interviewed before, you had mentioned that you remarry every year. Do you still do that?
Yes, every single year we get remarried on July 8th.
All right. And so how does that look like? Is it different every year?
Yes, some years have themes, but every single year, whether it's a traditional wedding or sometimes we had hard hats, we've got married on cruise ships, we've got married with our family, we got married by ourselves. It just depends on what the mood, what we talk about, and what we end up deciding upon together, and then we just go for it when the 8th comes.
So obviously, this is a recommitment.
Yes, it definitely is. And, you know, we need more of that in this society, Irene. Couples are losing track of what's important. I think that a lot of ways in society is, you know, everything's moving so fast now. With technology being what it is, you know, relationships are being put on the back burner. And by recommitting every year, you're re-solidifying what you guys have together. There's going to be ups and downs. It's not always perfect. And with Love Ponds, what we set out to do, just like with our book No Ordinary Love, is offer our suggestions, ideas, and techniques on what keeps us together. And we don't say every couple in every relationship is going to be perfect, but we do say you can have a fun, relaxing, loving, nurturing marriage or relationship even in today's society with the 5-minute marriages and the 20-second divorces.
You know, I so agree with you, Jack. My husband and I have been married for 43 years. And, you know, I kind of can laugh because looking back 43 years ago, some said it's not going to last. Guess what? We're still together. Just kind of going on what Jackie said, Doug, I want to talk to you about the man in our society right now. Some big names are really popping up with infidelity. And I'd like to have your comments on that.
it's truly unfortunate, because once you commit to a marriage, it is you and your wife. And if that is something that you're going to do is fool around and do those type of things, then marriage isn't something that you need to be involved in. And when we wrote this book, it is directly for that exact point, is that romance is about variety and being able to show your loved one that you love them by different ways, leaving notes, different things like that to keep the romance lit up would probably lead a lot of these people in the right direction, and you wouldn't see as much infidelity in our society as you are seeing today.
Do you think that these men have any recourse after they realize that they really screwed up?
No, I mean, ultimately it depends on the woman in the relationship and if they're willing to forgive. But in our relationship, that is something that we both of us would definitely not go for. But I truly don't think so. I think that once you do something like that, the marriage is over, and it's truly unfortunate because a lot of the times you have children involved and families, and those are the ones that when you're out there doing those things, you should truly, truly think about first and foremost is the people that you're going to hurt.
Exactly, and obviously that's the last thing on their minds, definitely. So, Jackie, there are some varied wives' reactions. For instance, Ted Haggard's wife, she embraced him back, and she supports him and understands him. And then on the other hand, John Edwards' wife is like, I'm out of here. I'd like your comments and viewpoints on those opposites.
And I'm very opinionated on that. I was just recently on Larry King, and I was asked that specific question, is what do I think, per se, the Tiger Woods situation? And not throwing Tiger Woods under the bus. I don't know him personally. I respect his golf game tremendously. I don't respect what he done, Irene. And I try not to be the one that brings a negative connotation to something, but it is so important to keep your marriage or relationship pure. It's so important to respect what you have. You are committed to a relationship, and you have to be that. There's always going to be what they call quote-unquote temptation out there. But how strong are you? Where is your mind really at? If your mind is in, I have a family or I have a wife or I have a mate and I love and respect them so much and I want to do unto them as I would want them to do unto me, then your relationship will stay strong. It will stay pure. And so what happened with that situation, it was just so unfortunate. And I really personally, as Larry said, I would not stand for it.
Mm-hmm. And I watched part of that too. It was a very good interview.
Yeah.
Just sort of following up on that, using Ted Haggard, for example, and his wife, you know, embraced him and is supporting him and is just really accepting all that. And on the other hand, you know, John Edwards' wife is like, I'm out of here. And so
That's right.
The two polarities, I think your viewpoints on those two.
I would definitely have to say, I don't knock the women that decide that they want to stay. It's something I would never do. I don't condone it, and I think it's unhealthy. I think a lot of times it has something to do with self-esteem or the fact that they don't feel they have a life outside of the marriage or relationship. So a lot of times they figure, I will just grin and bear it, or I will, you know, accept it. But then really, where is the honesty, loyalty, purity, faithfulness, all the different beautiful things that make up a relationship? Where does that go? And is that woman going to truly be, you know, honest with that man? It's just, it really breaks down the whole inner strength and foundation of a relationship. As far as the other lady, I'm all for her. I'm rooting for her. Go on with your life, and hopefully he can get himself together in the next relationship he's in. He either appreciates it more or respects himself more or makes a better decision.
Doug, do you think that, for instance, for those that the wives are gone, their history, do you feel that those men can actually turn around and go into a relationship that is healthy and pure and honest?
Well, first and foremost, they're going to have to address whatever issues that they're having with themselves that make them go out and be unfaithful and not trustworthy. If they go into another relationship and they are untrustworthy, sneaky, doing different things, the same thing is going to happen. And ultimately, really the ironic thing is it probably is going to end up happening to them. They're going to get around a mate that instead of them being the one that cheats, the mate is probably going to cheat on them. So I would say that, no, if you're going to do the same things, you're going to get the same response out of the situation.
I think it's called karma or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that, you know, some of the things that are coming out in one particular person that is in limelight right now about sex addiction. And do you feel that this sometimes is a disease that just, you know, it gets in the way?
I would definitely have to say that I think that that's a mental condition that a lot of people use as an excuse. Irene, I don't think I think you make choices, and if you're constantly doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're working, you're about the family, you're doing this, you can be. Okay, for instance, let's just throw it up in there that there is a sex addiction. Be addicted to your wife or your mate. Why not do that? Everyone's forgetting the fact that there's HIV and AIDS out there. There's all kinds of different diseases out there on top of the fact someone can end up getting pregnant, you destroy your family, all the different bad things that can happen with that. I really don't feel that that's something that people should actually say to go and pay a clinician to help me with because I have this problem. I personally don't believe in that. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I truly think that addiction is too much of anything, and as we know, too much of anything is not good. So this is something that, yes, somebody maybe can help you with, but when it comes down to it, this is a battle that you'll ultimately be struggling with all your life. You're going to have to be the one that faces up to the fact of, like my wife said, the choices that you make. If you make a different choice, obviously, then you won't have an addiction in that area.
Exactly. I so agree with you, too, and you know too much of one thing. But also, let's talk about the fact that it could be too much of one thing within a couple of maybe, you know, saying honesty and loyalty and so on, but it also could be smothering.
Yes.
And so there has to be a healthy boundary.
That's right. That's right. And I was, while Doug was playing, I'm sure you're familiar with this, and we talk a lot about it in No Ordinary Love. It's really between a couple on how much time together is too much time. We may live in the same home, but 8 hours out of the day, I'm working, I'm doing things, I'm on, you know, the computer trying to make sure I'm returning emails for the family. We're building the home. I'm dealing with the builders, different things like that. My husband's homeschooling our kids. He's educating our children. He's doing exercises with himself and with them because that's his profession. And there's so much that goes on in the context of a day. So I could never really understand what they meant by, oh, my God, you know, two people being together all the time is smothering. But then when you're, you know, then you have the opposite where there's people that's working on a movie and someone else is somewhere else, and it's like, oh, they didn't have enough time together. So it's a balance between each couple. There's never, I don't feel, too much time to be together because life is short. When it's taken away, you know, 5 months or 5 years into your relationship, you wish you had more time. So I understand what you're saying, and I think it is a delicate balance.
Exactly, and that's so important, and each couple has to create their own balance and what works for them, but healthy and with boundaries. And, but like you say, you know,
right,
having time for yourself, too, alone,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's so important. Your subtitle of your book is A Fun Variety Love and Romance Guide for Couples. Now, sometimes there is some confusion between love and romance and love and sex, and some people tend to interchange those and put the same meanings, and of course we know that they are different. So tell our listening audience what your definition is between love and romance and love and sex.
Well, I would say that there is definitely a difference between love and romance. Romance is that thing that stays and lingers with you all day long when you want to be romantic with your mate, the little gestures and the things that you do on a day-to-day basis. Love is something that is the base of your relationship. It's what truly, truly keeps you together through the ups and downs and all the good and bad times. Now, when we talk about sex, a lot of people say, oh, I had sex, and they think that that's romantic. Well, there's a big difference because you can always be romantic, but as you get older, maybe you're 90 years old, you might not always be able to have sex. So there is definitely a difference in all of those things that we just stated.
Yeah. Do you have anything to add, Jackie, in your viewpoint?
Yes, I definitely agree with everything my husband said, and I think romance is an all-day thing. A lot of women have told me over the years, they've asked me, how do you guys keep your relationship so fresh and strong? And I tell them it's all about, for one, we're best friends, and I think that's romantic in itself. And you've been married so long, you actually understand what it takes to stay in a marriage and, you know, be together and keep the fire burning. And I call that the fire burning, and that's what we talk about in Love Pond, is keeping the fire burning. you know, through it all. And so what my husband said about the little gestures is what makes it up. As far as sex, I look at that as a bonus in the relationship. But you have that with your mate. And a lot of guys say, well, with my mate, I can't do the things I can do if I go and get a mistress or a different woman. And you actually can. And when you realize that, you see that you have everything and you're fulfilled in your own relationship.
Do you think that there is a lack of romance in our culture right now?
By all means, I truly do. I think that it's been, like we were talking earlier, it's sex dominated, everything is sex, and I think there's a confusion in the fact that a lot of people are mistaking sex for romance, and romance, like my wife just said, is something that goes on all day. It's small gestures, it's little things, a touch, a smell, a hug, a kiss on the forehead, a rub of the neck, a note when you leave home and you come back that just says, I love you. These are the things that are romantic. And there's definitely a lack of it in our society today.
Well, and I agree. You know, watching TV, there's just so much sex-oriented, bedroom-oriented, and I think that there's a lot of confusion for our upcoming generations when they watch that because it doesn't define what romance and love really is.
I couldn't agree with you guys more, Irene. That is so true. You remember the movies back in the day and all the different shows and programs? You had Lucy and Desi Arnaz and all the different programs like that that were so beautiful to watch. And it left everything to the imagination. It was so pretty. We waited and wished that they would hug and kiss because it was special. It wasn't exploited. And now, even in commercials, to sell a burger or a salad, you have women half-dressed and this and that. And not only do I feel that that's not just good for the young generation coming up, it's also not good if you really look at it towards women. It's what are we allowing ourselves to be, you know, shown as? And the same thing. And then people wonder why there's so much infidelity and different things that goes on in this world.
Yeah, you know, this past weekend I watched a couple of Hallmark movies, and they're still that old-fashioned, the Desi Arnaz kind of thing. And, you know, if there's a bedroom scene, it's either for sleeping or passing through or something, and that's it. So there's still some, but who watches those?
That's right.
Yeah. So let's talk about secrets. Secrets between, you know, do we have secrets that we keep away from our spouse? How do you feel about that?
I would have to say I'm one of those ones. I'm old-fashioned in that way, and I don't feel that that's something that I want or need in my relationship. So I always, and sometimes to a fault, I always tell my husband every little thing, but he's my best friend, and I feel good about that. And sometimes, say I'm feeling down and I'm out doing errands, I like to know, and I smile within myself to know that he's a phone call away. He's at home. I can call him, or he's out, or whatever it is, and we can talk about whatever it is that I'm feeling. And so as far as, like, little personal ones, I really don't feel, I feel in a marriage and a relationship, if you're really soulmates, you share everything. Not that you have to, but you do it because you want to.
And truly, what are secrets? And when you're inside of a relationship, you want to be totally open and totally honest, because that is going to be the time when you're able to be the most romantic, the most loving, the most into each other, when you know that this is a person that you can trust with any and every little thing.
Exactly. Honesty is so important, and I am so glad that you keep talking about that because, you know, as I say, I've been married for 43 years, and, yeah, there's some days that, oh, wow, this is just like I need some time off, and that's so important to take that time off to regroup yourself.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. We're speaking today with Jackie and Doug Christie. Jackie is a fashion designer, and Doug is that former NBA player that we all know about. And we're also talking about the new book, Love Pawns. But as you hear, it's more than about their book. It's how to create and hold that healthy relationship, a special, special person in your life. You know, because, I mean, we have ups and down days and then go back into the marriage and start, you know, on a healthy day.
Well, I totally, and I always tell couples, you know, when they ask, what do you think I should do? I tell them every relationship is unique. Every relationship is different. But make sure if you have that foundation of love, loyalty, honesty, respect, communication, you can make it.
So, Doug, I understand in your book there is a really special recipe. It's a sexy recipe. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, we're from Seattle, Washington, so the great Northwest, and there we have fantastic seafood, and it happens to be the love of our family. Everyone in our family loves seafood, and in particularly, everyone loves salmon. So we call it the Christie Sexy Salmon. It's very healthy. We're only using fruit, Bragg, liquid aminos,
okay.
And it's baked in the oven, but I will tell you that it is absolutely dynamite. If you follow the recipe and if you love salmon, this is a can't miss. And even men out there or women who can't cook, you follow this recipe and your spouse will think that you are a chef.
All right. And that's so important, isn't it?
That's right. That is right.
That's right. And I think that, you know, it's strokes. It's actually appreciation, isn't it? Because
definitely. When you talk about food, and that's a romantic thing, food and wine, chocolates, fruit, all these different things are part of that whole romantic thing. And when you can cook for your spouse and all of a sudden they come home and they just totally enjoy the meal and it's something that you guys can sit down and talk about your day and really enjoy some good food, it is not only romantic, it is very sexy. So that's why it's sexy salmon.
That's great. And, you know, you mentioned sit down. So many people will sit down in front of the TV, but it's so important to sit at that table, isn't it? With no TV and possibly some music or and a glass of wine and just have a conversation without all the other distractions that are going on.
I love what you just said, Irene. I mean, that right there hits home with me for sure because that's what me and my husband do after the kids are in bed and we've had a long day or whatever. We sit down with a nice glass and we talk about all kinds of different of our different favorite wines in our book as well. So we suggest some, and they are all price ranges, so everybody can afford them. But we sit and we have a glass of wine and we kind of catch up. We regroup. We talk about us or family issues or things that we want to get accomplished. We set goals together, and I think that's a part of our friendship and our bond that we share as well. So it all plays into that whole romantic environment.
Exactly, and it's time for just the two of you after the kids are gone to bed. Let's talk about kids and family and how do you manage having children and having your careers and Doug, I know, is homeschooling, but there's all this family stuff, and you try to be romantic. And how do you cope with family issues?
Well, I think family obviously is the basis of everything that we are about, so it makes it a lot easier for us, I think, because of the way that we look at it. Family comes first, so we're making sure that we're working together on our daughters or our son or whatever their needs are. It's a family affair. Everybody's trying to work at one particular goal, which makes it a lot easier when people are pulling in different directions. It can be a lot harder, but we come together, we galvanize, and we make sure that everybody gets all the things that they want done. Then it just flows a lot easier as far as romance. We make sure that we make time when the kids go to bed or different things like that, or when mom is watching them, that we have time for ourselves so that we can enjoy each other, come up with ideas and different things, and all of that put together is what family is about. It's really working together.
So what comments would you have for people that just feel that, like you said, when your mom is watching them, you know, or somebody else is watching the children, that some people just don't feel that they can maybe afford to or don't have the means to be able to have somebody else look after the children for that time off. What can these couples do?
I would suggest that they do then, and I'm a big list person, Irene. I make lists, and my husband makes lists, and he writes in his journal. He's been writing 12 years in his journal, and I would suggest is make a plan, make a family plan. If you know, if you're not comfortable or you can't afford having someone else, my mother lives with us. She's lived with us for 15 years now, and it's wonderful. I can not only do we watch her and make sure she's okay because she's getting older and up there in age, but it also gives her that bond and relationship with our children. But going back to the question at hand is what they can do is they can decide what would be good for all of us in the family. And there's going to come a time in the evening when the kids go to bed, and you plan your events around then, or you say every weekend, you know, we're going to do this. It'll have be kids' day on Saturday, family day on Saturday, and then on Sunday it's mommy and daddy's day. And they can still be home, and you can still be romantic. You can cook together. There's different things. Of course, everyone is modest, and they want to be respectful of the kids, but there's so many different ways to do it. And if a family truly wants that or a couple truly wants that, there's always a way. And we share that in our book, so they definitely should get our book.
You know, well said, there's always a way. And it doesn't have to be some full-blown, you know, big romantic weekend or week off or something. It could be the little thing. And that's what holds the marriage together and the family together, doesn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. Doug, you decided to do homeschooling. And I really applaud you for doing that. Why that decision?
Well, it was a family decision again. Our daughter Shani was going to school initially, and there was a little bit of problem, so we wanted to bring her home and put her in homeschool. But the biggest thing that I've gotten from homeschool is the ability to interact with your children, and no one loves your children and puts your children on a higher pedestal, and as far as learning goes, than you. And I will tell you that homeschool has been fantastic because not only is the curriculum fantastic, but you're going to make sure that your kids are learning and grasping, whereas in school sometimes there's a lot of kids, there's a machine that's going on, and if you don't get it, they're going to keep moving, and your kids come home, and you're busy, and all of a sudden they're behind, and they're getting bad grades, and you know that they're a bright child, but you don't understand why. And homeschool allows you to have that interaction so you can see exactly what's going on, help them where they need help, and push them when they need to get pushed.
And who else but a parent can do that? And, I so agree with you. Jackie, how do you have any comments about homeschooling and how that's really changed in your relationship?
I definitely do, Irene. Our kids, our older kids, Chantel and Takari, went to Christian school before Douglas was born. For a long time, they went to their and public school, so we've got to see the school system and how it's changed our relationship. And, you know, Doug was playing basketball. We were shuffling them, my mom and myself, to school, picking them up. Doug would do it as well on days that he was available to do it, and it was fine. But I noticed that there was a lot of different self-esteem issues going on in the school system. There was a lot of extra distractions going on, and sometimes, you know, other parents would be talking, and I could hear their complaints, and I just felt like it wasn't really a good environment for our kids to be involved in. And when I went to school many years ago, it was different back then. And so I felt like, you know, we approached it and Doug started doing it, and, you know, I kind of helped get it set up, I realized that this is what we should have been doing all along. So I encourage parents to at least look into it, even if they don't believe in it or want to put their own kids in it. They should look into it because it's a miraculous change. Our kids' grades are great. Douglas gets that bond with his dad that I think a lot of kids are lacking. My husband can see what he's doing. They have, you know, very strenuous testing. He talks with his teacher. It's online, so you can go in the virtual classroom. And it's just a fantastic experience. You, like my husband said, you get to see where they need help, and you can actually spend that one-on-one time with them. So it's been a true blessing for our family.
I'm so glad you said that because so many homeschooled children and parents say the same thing, that it's such a blessing. Now, this is almost reverse roles because in most cases, it's the mother that stays home and does the homeschooling. In your case, it's reversed. And tell me about that. It's different.
A lot of people say, wow, he homeschools, and I go, let's talk about things. Okay, let's put things in the bright perspective.
Yeah.
Here's a Malibu Pepperdine University student, Doug, and he, you know, and I, if you've ever seen the college, you'd understand why, but on top of the fact, he's very intelligent, and he's a very, very, very wonderful teacher, and I don't just say that because he's my husband or my kid's dad, but I saw him do it. The patience that he exudes is that of a grandmother teaching their grandchildren. They've retired, and they really want to read a book to their grandchildren. They want them to get what it means,
he has a knack for that. And I tell him all the time, you could have actually been a teacher if you weren't a basketball player, because he has what it takes. And I could do it, and I do help here and there, but most of my, that's what else we do, is we delegate different things in our family. Mine is I do the errands, I do all the research, I do emailing, I do the business aspect of it, and my husband also helps me there, but I don't need him to do it, or I don't expect him to do it. He does it because he wants to, and it's always an extra blessing in that way as well. So we trade off different things, and it's just wonderful. So, yeah, the roles have been reversed, and they've been reversed in a great way.
And really, have they been reversed? You know, this is our society has put a label on it, basically.
That's right.
And what's the most important thing is it works for you.
That's right. Yeah. And it's funny because I've learned, I was on the Internet the other day, and I was looking for, because my husband has a television show coming out in the future, and I was looking for some information on some of the guests coming on, and there's about five, athletes, professional athletes, currently right now homeschooling their kids. So it was really amazing to see. So I think we're going to see a big change in a lot of, especially professional families, starting to homeschool.
Exactly. And why not? Why not? You know, that one time it was kind of thought that kids that are homeschooled don't get the opportunity to socialize. But that's a choice also, isn't it?
Yes, we would totally agree with you. We have family, both of our children, or all three of our children have different family members who are the same age. Also, they work in entertainment, so they are around kids all the time. They're able to get, interact, and all those different things. But like you said, it's a choice, because not everybody, when you do go to school, some kids are a little more introverted, and they don't interact in the social groups, and then you have other kids who are very outgoing, and they're over in the group, and they're the one in the middle. So it is a choice, and being at home is no different, except you're in a safe environment.
Exactly.
And you know what else I'd like to add, too, Irene, is they have actual gym time and everything. It's all mapped out. It's a really amazing system. And we always go through Washington Virtual Academy, but there's also the California one. They're all over the U.S., and it's something that all parents, I think, owe it to themselves to look into.
Good point. Really good point, Jackie. So before we close, there's a couple things I want to talk about. And, of course, we're talking about Love Puns, a fun variety love and romance guide for couples. And what I wanted to hear from you is, I'm sure that some of our listeners are like, oh, I don't know if there's any hope for this marriage. It's like, oh, man, this isn't working. I want some pointers on how to reignite this feeling that they're having.
Okay, I would definitely say, and I know my husband and I have some wonderful ones. We have a section in our book, page 51 is where it starts, and it's Q&A with Doug and Jackie. And these very, very questions are addressed. And it's other couples and other people that has written in to us and asked us questions. And it's sort of like a Dear Doug and Jackie, like a Dear Abby. And we answer the questions in detail. And I would say to a couple that feel that there's no hope, there is always hope. And I really hope that I resonate with you when I say, don't give up on your relationship. It's a beautiful, loving thing. You guys are together, especially if you have history together. There's always ways to reignite it by first sit down and communicate. Tell your mate what your needs are. Let them tell you what theirs is. And don't just talk. You got to also be willing to listen. And then make those changes. It doesn't have to be big, drastic changes like, okay, you want five things, I'm going to do them all today. Take little baby steps. But do it with love and honesty in your heart and purity. Don't expect anything in return. Just say, I really want to make my mate happy because I feel they deserve it and I love them and I want to make this work. And then work your way through it that way. And definitely, I encourage everybody to go to lovepons.com or email us. And we would love to help any other couples out there that's looking to reignite the fire in their marriage.
And I would like to add, because my wife hit it on the head, but I would like to add that if you are having any type of issues in your relationship, Love Puns are for you, no doubt, because it is about reigniting. It is about coming together, and all of a sudden you're going to see, as my wife said, baby steps, little gestures of romance all of a sudden just will crush anything in the way. We have quotes and different things in the book as you go, and one of them kind of addresses, and I'm paraphrasing, that love is like a river, and it overcomes any obstacle. If a rock is in the way, it goes around it, it goes over it, it goes under it, and ultimately it'll crush through it, because love is the basis of what you come together for. But romance is going to be that gust of wind, what rekindles, what sets it ablaze, and that is what Love Pond is about, and it is for anybody out there who are having any type of anything in their relationship and they want to keep it strong and make it blaze. Love Pond is the book.
I so agree with you, Doug. I want you to talk directly to some of the men that are listening to this, because sometimes, you know, after being together with their spouse for quite some time, it's kind of like a not a guy thing to acknowledge that, you know, they kind of maybe screwed up, or it could be that they just don't know where to start again and feel awkward. So let's address that awkwardness of getting back into that intimacy that they had when they were first dating, let's say, 20 years ago.
You know, the awkwardness, Irene, I would equate that to the ego, that voice in your head that's telling you that you messed up and you can't get back to that point that you want to be. That is so totally wrong. And like we talked about earlier, society pushes something on people, and I think men are more pushed to the fact that, you know, I have to be macho. I can't say I love you. I can't give you a hug. I can't give you a kiss. These are the little things that when you first met her, you were going out of your way to try to impress her, to try to make her feel comfortable, and then as you go on, all of a sudden that stops. Men, I'm here to tell you that that is the incorrect way to do it. What you want to do is you want to love your mate, and this goes vice versa for men and women, because now more days I think women are getting a little bit more withheld and not going as far out as they once did in the early part of the relationship also. So it's not just men, it is also women, but I'm speaking to the men and letting them know that, guys, love has to be in your heart and you have to let it out, and romance is what it is all about.
No kidding. And you know, the women want it, don't they, Jackie? They want their spouses, their partners to be there for them, to be that intimate.
And that's it. That's so true. They, not only do women want it, women need it, and I really feel that all women deserve it. And I think that if we all start, you know, couples, just start living by example, respecting one another, it comes down to respect and communication. And all we ask for, and I think that would be as all men want us to be, and that is their loving mate. And we would be those, you know, I like to look at it as their butterfly, if we felt good inside and if we felt the relationship was fulfilling. And the same with men. They'll be your strong guy, the one that you fell in love with and fell head over heels for and had, you know, butterflies in your stomach about, but it all has to come from each other. Don't look for the other person to change for you to give them. Change within yourself, or give of yourself, and they do the same, and then everyone meets in the middle. And it's a really beautiful, it's a beautiful thing. And there's a page on page 54. It talks about someone wrote into us, and it says, "Doug, Jackie, my relationship has hit a lull after 3 years. What do I do?" And we answer the question. And there's one point in here that I'd like to make. It says, "You may be surprised to know that this is very common. After about 12 to 18 months, the newness," which my husband calls the good foot stage, everyone's putting their best foot forward, "of the relationship seems to wear off. And in the beginning, each mate is still trying to impress the other, and each person's idiosyncrasies are overlooked by the sheer joy of being together." So it goes on, and I really think people will find in the book all kinds of different answers to these very questions.
Well said on both parts. Thank you so much, Jackie and Doug, for spending the time and talking to our listeners. And gosh, I just really, really encourage any couple, you know, and even people that are just are still single and are wanting a relationship, to look into this book, Love Ponds, LUV-PONS.com, because there are so many ways that you can create a relationship that you're in already that maybe is suffering, or add to it and have that romance and really fulfill the needs of both people. Thank you so, so much, both of you, and keep on writing. You've got some good stuff out there for us.
Thank you so much, Irene.
Thank you, Irene.
There you have it, listeners, another great talk with Doug and Jackie Christie. They have certainly established their place in society as a couple that sets that highest example for others to follow when it comes to creating that honest, healthy, and, of course, the relationship that is romantic. You can find out more about Doug and Jackie and their book, the one we were talking about, Love Ponds, on love-ponds.com. Again, Jackie and Doug, thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us and giving us such a delightful insight in your new book, but also giving all these tips on how to create that relationship within the marriage or even when just dating. So thanks again, and I'm your host, Irene Watson. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.